Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hare. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hare. Gopi Janam Balaba Idi Badhavute. Gopi Janam Balaba Idi Badhavute. Yasoda Nandana Prajajana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Prajajana Ranjana Jamuna Tirabhana Chahuti Yamuna te Ravana chalti Jai Hurad Humadava Kunnabihahuti Jai Hurad Madhuva Kunjabihati Gopinana Banaba Idi Padatati Gopi Dana Bhanava Idi Badudhati Yasoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Jamuna Tiravana Chauti Yamuna Tiravana Chauti Jai Hurad Umadava Kunjabihati Jai Hurad Madhuva Kunjabihati Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravatacharya Hostutela Satashi Shimad His Divine Grace Abhaya Chandana Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantagoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prince Kahoshi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shivasiddhi Gaur Bhaktivedanta Gijaya Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Shankun Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Gijaya Vrindavanam Gijaya Maturidam Gijaya Jagannatha Swami Gijaya Yumanamai Gijaya Srimati Lassi Devi Gijaya Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Gijaya Gaur Parivananda Hari Hari Bo. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vastaya Guru Vishnu Stasis Vata Yudhani Stasis and Nibani Vashtara Tishtani. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 20th chapter, text 25. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Evam Vanam Tad Varashishtang Papva Karjura Jambumat Go Gopalair Rito Rantum Sa Balaha Ravishad Dalehi Evam Vanam Tad Varshishtam Pokva karjurak jambumat Gogopalar vitorantum Sabala pravishantatahi Evam vanam tad varshishtam Pokva karjurak jambumat Go Gopalair Vitorantum Sabala Pravishandadahi Evambanam Tadvarshishtam Pakvakar Junajambumat Go Gopalair Vitorantum Sabala pravishadarahi. Okay. Shadadahi Evam Vananda Varshishtam Evam, thus, vanam, forest, tat, that, varshishtam, most resplendent, pakva, ripe, karjura, dates, jambu, and jambu fruits, mat, having, go, by the cows, Gopalahai, and the coward boys, Vritaha, surrounded. Rantum, with the purpose of playing. Sabalaha, accompanied by Lord Balarama. Pravishat, he entered. Harihi, Lord Krishna. Translation, when the Vrindavan forest had thus become resplendent, filled with ripe dates and jambu fruits, Lord Krishna, surrounded by his cows and coward boyfriends and accompanied by Sri Balaram, entered that forest to enjoy. You can repeat. When the Vrindavan forest had thus become resplendent, filled with ripe dates and jambu fruits, Lord Krishna, surrounded by his cows and coward boyfriends, and accompanied by Sri Balaram, entered that forest to enjoy. So there's no purport by the servants of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, but Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur and Jiva Goswami have nice purports. The description of the rainy season having been completed, now a description of Krishna's pastimes in the monsoon forest is described in seven verses. Krishna entered the forest of Brinda, which was flourishing varshishtam with ripe date and jambu trees. Jiva Goswami says, the monsoon having been described, now entering the forest for the Lord's special pastimes, the goal of the rains is described. The word avam means, in the same way as I have described the monsoon, I will describe Krishna's pastimes in the forest. The cows and boys surrounded him in order to see the beauty of his face. Let's see. Oops. I'll read Sanatana Goswami's purport really quickly. The monsoon having been described, now entered the forest for the Lord's special pastimes. The goal of the rains is described. They enter the forest splendid with the rains just described, varshishtam, or resplendent with beauty. Though Vrindavan is the shelter of all seasons with a wealth of all flowers and fruits at all times, at this time the forest was even more abundant with dates and jambu fruits. Krishna was surrounded by the boys because they wanted to protect him from the rain, each trying to cover him with their umbrella. The cows surrounded him with satisfaction, flowing with milk. Let me just turn this off. Having more affection for him than for their calves, as if offering him their milk. Attracting all minds, Harihi, since he was surrounded by everyone greedy for the beauty of his face, he entered the forest and remained there. Because of the beauty of the forest, Pravishat, there is also the hint that he did this every day during the rainy season. Okay, and then we are going to read Srila Prabhupada's commentary on this verse. And here Prabhupada translates, after the complete rainy season, the forest of Vrindavan was full of fruits like dates and blackberries, different than jambu fruits, ripening on the trees and bushes. Lord Sri Krishna, along with his elder brother Sri Baladeva and the other coward boys of the vicinity, entered the beautiful forest, accompanied by the cows to display their transcendental pastimes with his eternal friends. And Prabhupada's purport, Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appears with his personal entourage once in 4,320,000,000 years. Wow. We waited a long time. At least I waited a long time. Displays his transcendental paraphernalia just to attract the conditioned souls of the material world. And actually, that's only in this universe, because there's so many unlimited universes. Krishna right now is actually enacting his Vrindavan pastimes in some universe. So don't worry, you don't have to wait that long. You can go there right after this lifetime. Although the material world is only a shadow of the spiritual world, the materially encaged living entities seek spiritual happiness here in a form perverted by materialistic attachment. Empiric philosophers with a poor fund of knowledge imagine a spiritual picture that is impersonal. But the spiritual living being, less attracted by the impersonal form of spiritual emancipation, becomes more attracted by the material form and becomes hopeless of spiritual emancipation. In other words, put it in plain language, when the impersonalists present their impersonal understanding, it doesn't attract us, because we are personal beings and we want relationships, we want variety. And so it's really obnoxious. I mean, just like sometimes I see someone meditating in the temple room on Brahman, and I just think, yuck. Anyway, it's not attractive. Therefore, the absolute, it's like going to sleep. Therefore, the absolute, it's not attractive to go to sleep unless you're tired. Therefore, the absolute personality of Godhead out of his limitless and causeless mercy descends from the spiritual kingdom and displays his personal pastimes of Vrindavan, the replica of the Krishna local planet in the spiritual sky. Vrindavan is the most sacred place within this cosmic universe, and people seeking to achieve spiritual emancipation by entering the kingdom of God may make a home in Vrindavan and become serious students of the six Goswamis who were instructed by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The six Goswamis were headed by Srila Rupa Goswami, who was followed by Srila Sanatan, Srila Bhatta Raghunath, Srila Jiva, and Srila Gopal Bhatta, and Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. They were all seriously engaged in research and excavation of the mystery of Vrindavan Dham. Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, had appeared at Vrindavan about 5,000 years ago, and the relics of his appearance at Vrindavan were lost from view. But Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the very same Lord Krishna in the form of a great devotee, appeared at Navadweep, a district in West Bengal, and excavated the holy places of Lord Sri Krishna's transcendental pastimes. He instructed the above-mentioned six Goswamis to compose authorized literature on the cult of Vrindavan, and any serious student anxious to know about the Supreme Lord may take advantage of this invaluable literature and the guidance of authorized scholars and thus know about the Lord of Vrindavan, Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. So there's the Prabhupada's comments. So, evam vanam tadvara shishtam pakva karajurajam mumat go gopalar vatol rantum Sabala Pravishad Dadahi. So there's several ways of understanding this particular jump right now to Krishna's pastimes, right? We have Krishna and Balaram appearing all of a sudden as really nectar. So one understanding that we get from this is that previous to this, and especially in the last verse we heard some description as Mother Irma gave class of Varnashram and people in different Varnas doing different things. And, you know, that was nice. Nothing wrong with it. Because it's also Krishna Katha. However, we find in the description of the conversation between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy, which is called the Ramananda Samvada, there is a very interesting progression from Varnashram up to pure devotional service, up to the highest stages of the relationships between, or relationship between Radha and Krishna. And the interesting thing in this particular discussion, sorry about this, is that Ramananda Roy, who is ostensibly, externally, according to Varnashram, a what? Does anyone know? A Shudra, Kayasta, which is considered a Shudra. And he's also the governor of Madras, which is nowadays called Chennai. And actually that whole area there. So Ramananda Roy is giving instructions to Lord Chaitanya, who is a Brahmin. Oh my God. What's happened here? We're jumping over the Varnas, you know. Trouble. So anyway, because Lord Chaitanya is asking questions in a rhetorical way. Rhetorical, of course, means the teacher knows, but the teacher asks the question, you know, what does this mean? And so, anyway, so Lord Chaitanya is asking the question of Ramananda Roy, who is a shooter, ostensibly, externally. He said, what is the highest goal and what is the method to achieve it? And Ramananda Roy first says, Varnashram. And it's nothing wrong with Varnashram. Sorry about that. Varnashram is kind of nice. It's to regulate society, to keep everybody in their proper place. Oh, my God, that sounds threatening. know your place. Anyway, so they keep everybody in the proper place. So society is regulated. I mean, Krishna is the originator of Varnashram. You know, and Krishna talks about it. It's not the caste system, just to make it very clear. Oh, my God, very little time for this. So, and then Lord Chaitanya said, this is simply external. Not only is he saying it's external, but he's showing it's external by having Ramananda Roy preach to him, which is interesting. And then he says to Ramananda Roy, just go a little higher. And then Ramananda Roy quotes this verse from the Gita, Yat Karochi Yad Snasi Yad Jahushita Dasi Yat Yadat Pashasi Konti Yadat Karashwa Marapanam. So he says, all right, higher than that is offer whatever you do, and that whatever you offer, whatever you give away, should be offered to Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya says, this is also a little external. And you want to think, what is that external? Because a lot of people who are offering things to Krishna, especially in India, offering things to Krishna because they want something. And they do bargains with the deities. They go before Balaji and say, Balaji, if this business is successful, you get 50% and I get 50%. It's nice. Sometimes I do that with Radha Golokananda. If I get a big donation, you know, I'm just joking. I never do that. So then Lord Chaitanya said, you know, this is external. And then Ramananda Roy talks about, at this point, you know, sarvadharmam parichaja mamikam sharanam braja. Just, you know, give up everything. And Lord Chaitanya said, that's also external. And then he talks about jnanamishra bhakti. You know, I'm leaving a few points out here. Jnanamishra bhakti means the desire for liberation. One performs bhakti. And then Lord Chaitanya says, you know, you got to go higher than this. And then he talks about pure devotional service, which is described by Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion as Anyabhi Lashita Shunyam Jnanakarma Navratam Anukulyena Krishnana Shilanam Bhakturutumam. That one has to be devoid of any desire for liberation or just even achieving knowledge in this world and or gross things in this world. And then one has to serve Krishna favorably according to what Krishna wants and with great devotion, not just out of a sense of duty. And I like that point that Mother Irmala made yesterday about that, you know, the sense of duty. We hear the word duty in the Western world and it's just like, yuck! Do your duty. Yeah, but it actually, it means a lot more, you know, your dharma, whatever it is. And that it's actually part of your identity. It's a lot more. So anyway, I don't need this anymore. So Lord Chaitanya said, yeah, you got it there. You know, I'm paraphrasing, putting it in modern language. He didn't say, you got it. You know, he said, that's it. But you got to go higher. And then he talks about, you know, servitude and then friendship, parental relationship, and finally conjugal relationship. And then he goes into the higher stages of conjugal relationship. You know, it's, I'm not going to get into that right now. Of course, I may later on in class. This is actually a progressive path. So we actually find this in this chapter in the Bhagavatam, that you're getting the preliminary foundational knowledge, and you're getting actually abhideya, sambandha and abhideya in the here, and then finally we're getting to prayojana. It's interesting. I mean, it's leading up to prayojana. You know, prayojana means the goal, you know, Krishna and Balaram. So you may think, well, it's only, I mean, this is interesting perspective. You may think this is only preliminary stuff that we've read so far. And, you know, finally we get to the real nectar. But that's not actually a fact. First of all, Krishna's philosophy, you know, whether it's sambandha, abhideya, prayojana, like Bhagavad Gita, there's a lot of sambandha stuff there, is nectar, because it's Krishna. And not only not only is it nectar to hear the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, the basic stuff, you know, that's a test to see if you're actually advanced in devotional service. Some people who think they're advanced in devotional service, they really want to go just for the, you know, what they consider to be the nectar. You know, you go to the Babaji's and Radha Kund, they'll say, you know, this Bhagavad Gita, what the are you reading Bhagavad Gita for? But if you actually love Krishna, then you will actually love everything he says. You know, you say, Krishna, you know, Bhagavad Gita, you know, I don't like what you talk about there. You know, I'm beyond you. I'm beyond that. But it's nonsense because it's nectar. It's nectar coming from the mouth, like Guru Mukha Padma Bhakti, you know, the lotus mouth of the spiritual master. So it's Krishna has a lotus mouth too. So that's one way to understand this particular section of the Bhagavatam. It's actually all wonderful philosophy, and it's all spoken by Krishna and the pure devotees, and it's Krishna's philosophy, Dharma, Tasakshat, Bhagavat, Pranitam. It comes from Krishna. And there's another way that I was thinking of too, that it's, these are all descriptions of Vrindavan in here. And whether it's Krishna's philosophy or Vrindavan, you know, directly Vrindavan, whether you take it in a metaphorical sense or in an actual sense or whatever, it's all like nectar because all these descriptions are what we call vibhavas. You know, vibhava means, and I'm just going to refer to Nectar Devotion. I'm not going to really read from Nectar Devotion, but I just want to make you aware of this particular chapter, which is chapter 26 in Nectar Devotion. And the chapter 26 in Nectar Devotion is called Stimulation for Ecstatic Love. You know, Prabhupada has actually put the Sanskrit words in a form, or you know, translated them in common English so we can understand what's going on here. But actually, this chapter is about vibhava or vibhavas. I'm not going to read from it. So when we're talking about vibhavas, things that stimulate your ecstatic love or ecstasy, and actually we should have been stimulated by this whole chapter, not just by the philosophy. Philosophy is very stimulating. But by just the description in Vrindavan, it's Vrindavan. It's not an ordinary place. It's not that we're talking about, I mean, for example, many years ago I was the GBC of Hawaii, and there's one island in Hawaii, Hawaii chain, where it rains more than any other island. I think it's Kauai or something like that. So anyway, and so that's where they have the Hindu temple there, which I visited. Actually, it's a Shiva temple. And so it rains there. So you hear about the rain there. You know, one day I was reading about the rain. Not recently, years ago when I was a rascal. I was reading about the rain in Kauai, how it rains more and everything. And I didn't feel so stimulated hearing about it. But hearing about the rain in Vrindavan is stimulating because it's connected with Krishna. And here we're talking about vibhava or vibhavas to use a plural in English, combine the English with the Sanskrit. So the things that stimulate devotees are of two types, alambana and udipana. There's some new words for all of you. That means, alambana means directly Krishna. You know, it would be really stimulating for me if Krishna walked in the room here. I mean, that's a no-brainer, right? Krishna walks in with his flute. Of course, the flute is in a deep in it, but anyway. And I feel ecstasy. But if you're actually a devotee, then you'll be stimulated by things related to Krishna. Like if you see a flute, if you see like the peacock fan over there, right? If I was actually a devotee, if I would look at that peacock fan, I would feel ecstasy if I was actually a devotee. Or anything, the bell. Krishna's eating right now, right? As far as I know, that's what the bell means. bell doesn't mean that soon it will come off the altar and I will be able to eat, like most people think. Like sometimes, you know, a little kid will go to his parents, the parents are doing deed of worship, and they'll say, is it prasadam yet? Because the bell is like the Pavlovian response. When you hear a bell, then you start to salivate. Anyway, so... So we should be stimulated by these things. And actually, talking about Krishna, it's very interesting about being stimulated by Krishna directly. There's Krishna in two forms that can stimulate you. One is in his obvious form, and I'm just using the English right now, and one is when he has a covered form. Like when Krishna dresses up as a lady, drag. Krishna's the original drag king. Anyway, so when Krishna dresses up as a lady, that's also alambana, isn't it? That's called avrita. Avrita means covered. Like we have that word in Sanskrit in the Bhagavad Gita, avritam gyanam etena gyanino nityavarana. One's consciousness or knowledge is covered, right? So Krishna is sometimes covered. And the devotees don't understand, why is this woman stimulating me? I'm supposed to be above sex life. And that's Krishna. Ormila doesn't like my examples. Anyway, the older cows are thinking, why is this older calf stimulating me so much? But it's Krishna. It's a covered form of Krishna. And then so Krishna's a covered form, and then Prakriti, then uncovered form. So anyway, so this is Alambana and Udipana. So anyway, so all these things should just stimulate our ecstasy when we're hearing about Vrindavan, not an ordinary place. And then another point I wanted to bring forth about this particular verse is all these different arrangements in Vrindavan, whether you're talking about the rain or the clouds, I should be more positive, the rains... or the clouds, or the seasonal flowers and everything, they're all made by someone named Brinda, who Vrindavan is named after. It's interesting. I was just reading the Govinda Lilamrita, and Brinda Devi and Tulsi Devi are two different persons in the Govinda Lilamrita. There's actually discussion between both of them, you know, conversation. Anyway, so what I wanted to do is... be a little esoteric today, if I could, because I promised that I would do this, and read about some of the things that Brinda does to arrange for Radha and Krishna's pastimes, or Krishna and Balaram's pastimes, or any pastime that Krishna has, or Krishna with the coward boys. And this is from the Govinda Lilamrita by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Now, none of you should pick up a copy of the Govinda Lilamrita. Sorry. What? Oh, my God. I'm shivering. My hairs are standing on. And anyway, give me a second to compose myself. So anyway, so this is Govinda Lilamrita. It's a very advanced literature. And I'm just reading parts that are not too advanced for all of us, just a few parts. So this part is referring to the Ashtakaliya Leela. Ashtakaliya Leela means the eight aspects, the times of the day when Krishna enacts his pastimes. Lord Chaitanya also has Ashtakaliya Leela. So anyway, so this particular section we're going to read from, at least the first section, refers to the end of night, which is the first time in the time sequence of Krishna's pastimes. So this is Vrinda, who makes all these arrangements, everything, the seasons, the clouds, the rain, the birds, the trees. She's the boss. So seeing the end of night, Vrinda engaged a group of birds ready to follow her order to wake up Radha and Krishna. Whew. On her order, the birds, arriving at the bower on the instructions of Brinda, in silence, filled the grove with their chirping and great bliss. The sari birds sang in the grapevines. The parrots sang in the pomegranate trees. So she's arranging all this stuff for Radha and Krishna. The cuckoos sang in the mango trees with their consorts. The doves sang in the pila trees, and the peacocks sang in the priyaka trees. The bees sang in the creepers. The cocks crowed on the ground. These are peacocks, not chickens. At that time, the bees, greedy for honey, began humming within the bower, which was decorated with flowering creepers and a bed made of lotus petals. They sounded like an auspicious conch announcing Cupid. The bees, bursting with bliss and mad to taste honey, began buzzing louder, like the sound of drums suggesting the joy of love in order to wake up Govinda. So all this is arranged to wake up Radha and Krishna. Remember this, by Vrinda. Seeing that Krishna had arrived, seeing that Krishna had arrived, Vrinda informed the suffering plants and animals of the forest who had been depressed in separation from him. So in other words, in Vrindavan, you know, you hear these descriptions of everything in Vrindavan. Everything's conscious. The clouds are conscious. I mean, this is from another perspective. The clouds are conscious. The trees are fully conscious. Not like now, if you see, not in Vrindavan, but here, if you see a tree here, it's not fully conscious. It's covered. But there you can talk to a tree. You can talk to a laddu that you're going to eat. And you don't destroy it either. So anyway, so here you have Vrinda telling the plants and animals of the forest who had been depressed because of Krishna's separation, Krishna's coming, you know, and they became enlivened. And this is what she says. O forest friend, Krishna is coming here. Rejoice immediately. Give up the fainting state of separation. Make him remember Radha, your queen, by showing him your individual qualities, referring to the creepers and flowers. Make your wealth successful by producing pastimes for the couple. O creepers, wake up. O trees, blossom. O deer, begin prancing. This is pretty amazing, isn't it? The descriptions that she gives to all the animals, the plants, all the aspects of the forest of Vrindavan. O cuckoo, sing with the bees. O peacocks, dance in joy. She's like the director, the stage director here. Peacocks, okay, dance. Parrots, begin recitation. O plants and animals, rejoice. After a long time, your dearest friend has come to make you happy. Sprinkled with a nectar, shower of nectar from the sound of his flute, fanned by the air of his limbs, completely revived by Vrinda, the forest suddenly opened its eyes. The forest, awakened by Vrinda and decorated with Krishna's entrance, shone as if beautiful Lakshmi had come to see him. Beyond this, there were flower gardens surrounded by groves. There was a jeweled pavilion in the water connected by a bridge to the land. This is all arranged by Vrinda. It was surrounded by forest goddesses who plucked various flowers and hundreds of servant girls engaged in the service of the bowers. It was surrounded by groups of rooms for storing the service supplies gathered by Vrinda and situated in the middle of flower gardens and flower groves. The groves around the pond were served by the qualities of the seasons, and the paths, plazas, and dwellings were cleansed and sprinkled with scented water by Vrinda. There were roadways. Whoops, I got a lot more. There were roadways, yards, swings, and pavilions made colorful by arches, canopies, manors, and pillars made of flowers. In the bowers meant for pastime, situated on soft earth, there were beds made from various flowers, lotus petals, buds without stalks, pillows, cushions, shaped like the moon, goblets of honey, boxes of betel, and water pitchers. The surrounding water was scented with pollen and honey, from white water lilies, red lotuses, white lotuses, blue lotuses, day lotuses, and night lotuses. I mean, if this doesn't stimulate your love for Krishna, you're in the wrong movement. The pond the pond was filled with soft singing of swans, cranes, galelules, whatever that is, cormorants, cuckoos, and various geese, pleasant to hear. It was attractive with poetic conversations, joyful with the rasas of Krishna's pastimes, recited by parrots and sari birds, singing together and separately. The attractive banks were spread with dancing, crying peacocks excited by affection for Krishna's effulgence, which they mistook for clouds. In the attractive groves, there were pigeons, turtle doves, and chatakas, filled with joy on seeing Krishna, who expanded their bodies and produced pleasing notes for their ears. All the chikora birds, rejecting the moon, covered the whole sky as they attempted to drink the nectar of Krishna's moon-rayed face, which defeated countless full moons. The banks were covered with bowing trees and creepers bearing ripe, half-ripe, unripe fruits, as well as buds, flowers, and new leaves. This pool of water and its banks, amidst many forests of lotuses of many colors and breeds, seemed to mock the astonishing milk ocean by its qualities. So this is some of the work of Brinda, which we're actually hearing about today. And finally, I'd like to end by reading some of the verses glorifying Brinda, if I have time. This is called the Vrindadevi Ashtaka by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the great Acharya. And I'll just read the English, because we don't have time for the Sanskrit. And she is the one who arranges everything in Krishna's pastime. So we're actually hearing this whole chapter is basically, to a large extent, about what Brinda is doing. To arrange, because all this is to arrange for Radha and Krishna to appear. Just like all these different philosophical points made here in the previous verses is to arrange for us to understand the philosophy so we can rise to the level of understanding Krishna's pastime. So it's important to have Sambandha and Abhideya Gyan to come to the point of Prayojana. O Vrindadevi, I offer my respectful obeisances to your lotus feet. You are bathed in your own splendor, which defeats the effulgence of lightning and the golden champaka flower. The luster of your transcendental garments is the friend of the liandila flower. O Vrindadeva, offer my respectful obeisances to your lotus feet. Your face is illuminated by the splendor of the pearl decorating the tip of your nose and by the extraordinary gentle smile on the two bimba fruits which are your lips. You are enriched by the beauty of the amazing and colorful jewels and ornaments you wear. O Vrindadevi, I offer my respectful obeisances to your lotus feet. Srimati Radharani, the daughter of King Brishabhanu, has made you the ruling monarch of Lord Krishna's opulent and auspicious abode of Vrindavan, which is the crest jewel of all the Vaikuntha planets. O Vrindadevi, I offer my respectful obeisances at your lotus feet. Because of your order, the groves where Lord Madhava performs his pastimes appear very splendid, decorated with blossoming flowers, bumblebees, deer, and other auspicious animals, flowers, and birds. O Vrindadevi, I offer my respectful obeisances to your lotus feet. Who can describe your good fortune? You are the messenger who brought about the perfection of the amorous pastimes of Radha and Krishna, the youthful couple who enthusiastically sport in the groves of Vrindavan. I'll finish. Vrindadevi, I offer my respectful obeisances to your lotus feet. The living entities who attain the service of the lotus feet of your Lord reside in Vrindavan, and the desire to understand the Lord's amazing pastimes of the rasa dance is only by your mercy. Vrindadevi, I offer my respectful obeisances to your lotus feet. Those who have studied the Shashvata Tantra glorify you. You are Lord Krishna's potency for performing pastimes, and you are known as Tulsi Devi in the human society. So I guess Tulsi Devi is like an expansion of Vrindadevi, even though they appear as two separate personalities in Krishna's pastimes, which is interesting. O Vrindadevi, I offer my respectful obeisances to your lotus feet, those who are devoid of devotion to Lord Hari and who are thrown by their offenses into the waves of lust and other inauspicious qualities may take shelter of you. Wow. Oh, my God. Let me just finish. O Vrindadevi, I offer my respectful obeisances to your lotus feet. Let a person who becomes like a bumblebee at the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna and who hears or reads these eight verses describing the glories of Vrindadevi eternally reside at Goloka Vrindavan. He attains devotional service and pure love of Godhead, and all of his spiritual aspirations are fulfilled. Wow. Okay. Thank you very much. All glories to his divine grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada.
Sri Sri Radha Yogananda, Radha Yogananda Ki Jai. Govinda, Hare Krishna. Govinda, Hare Krishna. Govinda, Govinda, Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.